while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
The theme for today is putting the first things first. Putting the first things first. And today we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. And many of us will know the verses in this scripture already. They'll be familiar to us in many ways because it is in these verses that Jesus said we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to us. So yeah, this time of the year, it's one of those times of the year, it's getting warmer, the days are getting even longer still, the retailers and the businesses are already out there, you know, I'm seeing some pre-summer sales. I mean, what is a pre-summer sale? You know, there's a pre-everything sale these days. And the volume of adverts that we're seeing on TV, you'd be forgiven if you thought the cost of living crisis was over. You know, if you thought food poverty was no longer a thing, you'd be forgiven. It's like, what's going on? There's just so much. Come and buy. Come and spend. Come. Don't worry about it. You know? And the purposes of these adverts is to cause us or call us to make a choice, to make a change, call us to make a buying decision that benefits them, benefits those organizations. And with this sort of pre-summer, this sort of marketing push, oftentimes around this time, we start thinking about change. We start thinking, oh, summer's here, we're going to change my wardrobe, you know. A couple of people probably, I'm trying to look around the room and see if I'm seeing anybody wearing cardigans and jumpers. I've seen at least one puffer jacket. I'm like, huh, it's June, you know. It's warm, you know. But this is around the sort of time we start to think about these things. We start to think about things like, ooh, I wonder if I could change my car. Because in wintertime, it's so dark, you don't care if the car is dirty and dingy. But summertime, everybody can see that the dirt on that thing. And people start thinking, oh, maybe it's time to change my car or change my job, change where I live, change my lifestyle, change my wardrobe. And if you're, you know, if you're going to change your wardrobe, maybe it's because you want to a change of lifestyle. You want to get healthier, or you want to quit this thing or quit the other thing, or you want to, you know, we at this time of year when we start thinking about lifestyle changes, you know, we resolve to lose weight, we resolve to go to the gym, we resolve to, you know, well, some of us don't even go to the gym. We go online and we buy that really expensive bike, I'm not going to call the name, and you buy the really expensive subscription that goes with it, and then you leave it in the living room and it becomes a clothes horse, you know. Yeah, we make these sorts of decisions. We make the decisions. And some of these decisions are priority. They're really important. Some of them are not. Some of them are not. And sometimes we don't realize how much the choices we're trying to make, the decisions we're trying to reach, we don't realize how much these things are consuming our thoughts. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever been worried about the future? Have you ever been worried or anxious? Yes? Some people are thinking, no, I'm good, I'm all right. Please come and talk to me after service. I want some of what you have, okay? Because it certainly happened to me. I'm certain that absolutely every one of us at one point or another, over some situation or another, you know, has hoped that something would happen, has hoped for something to happen, something that we resolved perhaps, or something that we promised we would get, something we really wanted. We've hoped for it and we've been anxious around that. For one reason or another, sometimes we've been concerned, we've been worried about things. And maybe the worry was because we thought that this thing we're hoping for, this situation or this person we're hoping for, somehow it might not happen. And maybe that's the worry that we had. Or we realize, sometimes we get worried and anxious because we realize we're chasing after the wrong thing. We've gone down a rabbit hole, you know. I mean, Instagram is one of the worst rabbit holes on God's green earth. Sometimes, you know, somebody said to me, I said, I wanted to buy something off someone who just started a business. I said, where are you trading? I do it on Instagram. I went on Instagram to look at their products. Half an hour later, I was looking at cats knocking bottles off shelves. You know, my break time was over and I didn't find the person's profile. Horrible, man. Horrible. And so sometimes, you know, we find ourselves going down these rabbit holes of emotions, going down the rabbit hole of worry. And maybe it's possible that we got discouraged because we faced a challenge we couldn't overcome. And that is what caused us to worry. And I firmly believe that in this room, in this service right now, whether you're physically here or you're digitally here, or you're listening back to this sermon on the playback, I firmly believe that some of us, if not all of us, at some point, probably even now, are worried about the future. What's my future money situation? What's my future relationship situation? What's my future job situation? My future child situation? We all, at some point, have worried. We all have, of course. And I'm sure from time to time, many of us still worry regularly. Particularly where it concerns something important. It's easy to worry about children, isn't it? It's easy to be worried. Has anybody ever had a child in your care, whether it's your child or somebody else's child, that falls sick? Your brain starts to fizz and pop. You're like, okay, do I call 101? No. Why is it 101? I mean 999 or 101. Why not 999-111? What? 111. What? So who's 101? Anyway, the emergency and the not so emergency number. You're looking at this child, you're thinking, do I call the not so emergency number? Do I jump in a car, go to a hospital? What do I do? And in the passage that we looked at, Jesus is, you know, he's telling us that when we worry, when we're worrying, there's an implication that we don't trust God's control. If you read the passage, if you look at it, there's a hint in there that if you're worrying, you're not trusting God. The sparrows don't worry because they're reliant on God. When we worry, in truth, we fail to believe God. We fail to trust God. We fail to depend on God, the one who gave us life, the one who gives us all things. Worry has no place in our lives because worry cannot change anything. Worry doesn't change anything. Well, not for the better. Not for the better. And worry doesn't help us cope. Worry never yields a solution. Worry never gets us closer to the answer. It doesn't. Worry just burns up energy that we could be using constructively to find a solution, constructively to help us cope. Worry burns up that energy that we could be using to address the issue that we're facing. And Jesus used a number of things to illustrate the freedom, the liberty that we've been given as God's children. He talked about the birds of the air. And when he's talking about the birds of the air, he's talking about that freedom, the liberation, the freedom from anxiety. Have you ever seen a worried bird? Exactly, I say that. You smile, you laugh, you chuckle. What does that even look like? A worried bird. And he used that to illustrate the liberty that we should, not that we don't have needs, but even in our needs, we should still be operating in liberty. He talked about the lilies of the field to talk about freedom from seeking status. The lilies don't clothe themselves. Have you ever seen a field full of lilies? It's a beautiful sight to behold. And God did that. And the lilies don't have to worry about what they look like. He talked about the grass of the field. The grass of the field. And in some regards, it's about how we assess our priorities. And then there's that caution in verse 27. to be careful about worrying, because worrying does not add anything to life. On the contrary, worry can even limit life. We know this. It leads to stress, anxiety, and those are gateways to all sorts of problems. Someone once said, if you cannot help worrying, remember, worrying cannot help you either. Sadly, too many of us are so consumed by our emotions, we don't realize when it's becoming a distraction from God. It's becoming a distraction from what God is doing, what God is saying, what God is calling. We don't realize that. And next week, we're actually going to be dealing with the topic of emotions. Well, Pastor Manuela will be bringing the sermon on that and talking about how we ensure to bring and keep our emotions in line with God's will for us. So, today, we're approaching the halfway point of the year. Have you been worried about something? Maybe a health issue, a money issue, a job situation. Maybe you're carrying a burden of worry because you don't want to be disappointed. You don't want to be hurt. Maybe you don't. It's because, you don't want to be sick. You don't want to be broke anymore. You don't want to be in pain anymore. You don't want to be heartbroken. And that's what's causing the worry. Maybe the worries you're carrying are for somebody else, someone you know, someone you care for, someone you love. Well, there are lessons that you can learn from Jesus to help you minimize the worry in your life. The main thrust of Jesus' lesson in our text is in verse 33, where he says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All these things will be given to you as well. The Amplified puts it this way. It says, but first and most importantly, seek, aim, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. The attitude and character of God and all these things will be given to you. You see, seek first, that phrase, seek first, shows us that Jesus is concerned about the principal thing, putting the first things first, the principal thing, seek first in our lives. He tells us to make our topmost priority God's kingdom and God's righteousness. And you know what? Here's the thing with that. The more we seek to live for God's kingdom, in a way that he would have us do, the more we grow in the knowledge of him. And here's the thing about growing in the knowledge of God. The more you grow in the knowledge of God, the more all other things will fall into their rightful place. Because when you grow in the knowledge of God, you put God in his rightful place. And the more God is in his rightful place, the more everything else take their rightful place. Do you understand that? The more we seek him, the more we find him, the more we find him, the more we know him, the more we know him, the more he's in his place. And the more he is in his place, the more everything else falls into their place. Now, I want to highlight three quick points from Jesus' teaching that I think we should pay attention to when we're thinking about this. And they are what we think, what we choose, and what we achieve. So, what we think. In terms of what we think, what we typically think about, often when we look at Jesus' teaching, there are points that he's talking about there that you can draw from this. The three very important things that we often think about. Number one, our shelter. Number two, our clothing. Number three, our food. Shelter, clothing, food. As human beings, we're often thinking, okay, roof over our head, you know, clothes on our backs, food in our belly. Yeah. The shelter, if you look at the text, it deals with that. So when I say shelter, I'm not necessarily talking about the physical roof. I'm also talking about, as human beings, our shelter, our concerns for shelter go into our concerns for our protection, our safety, our well-being, our security. They are about our shelter. For clothing, it's not singularly what we're wearing. Whether you buy from Prada or Primani, you know, it's not about that. It's not necessarily the physical clothing, although that's part of it. It's also the how we're seen. You know, how do people see us? Our reputation. What people think of us. The image people have of us. clothing. And then number three, the food, what we eat. Now, when I say what we eat, it's also what we consume. The stuff that's sustaining us, the stuff that we're leaning on, it's what the stuff that comes in our ear gate, our eye gate. It relates to the music we're listening to. It relates to, you know, the stuff that we're eating. Now, these things are important. They're very high important, and it's arguable, you know, the many of us probably spend many of our waking hours involved in protecting these things. You know, and as such, there's probably more concern and worry involved in shelter, clothing, and food than anything else. Because often, remember earlier when I was talking about if a child is sick, that's about their shelter, about their protection, about their well-being. And the chances are that we as Christians, we also give about as much attention to these things as people who don't know God. And Jesus is highlighting to us that because we know God, that balance, that the percentage of attention we give should be slightly different. We shouldn't live with the same anxiety as those who don't know God. We shouldn't. So that's what we think. What we choose, concerning what we choose, our natural tendency in life is to do it my way. That's the natural tendency. We like to do things our way. Who doesn't like things to be done their way? Really? Yeah, right. Well, I believe you. This lot don't. Yeah? Because it's our natural tendency. We have our habits. We know who we are. We think we know who we are. Remember last week's sermon? We think we know who we are, right? So we have our ways of doing it, and we default to that. And our natural tendency is to do things our way. So we give ourselves topmost priority. We think, you know, I know myself, and so that's it. We have the priority. The material things I want take the priority because, you know, these are the things that I can see. Yeah. And as such, we give little attention to the spiritual things in life. Remember last week, we're talking about spiritual reality. We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spirit beings having a human experience. The temporary part of our existence is our humanity. That's the temporary part. Yeah. So, too often, we give little attention to the spiritual things. And Jesus comes and he turns this stuff on its head. He shows that there are two priority options. There are two directions in which we can focus our life. We can either go after and be preoccupied with material things as our goal. We can be preoccupied with, you know, paying the bills and doing all this other stuff. And then from time to time, we, you know, pop in and give God a little bit of righteousness attention. And when we do all of this, when we do it that way, all the other stuff becomes the God, becomes the importance. And then God becomes the bonus prize. But look at the way Jesus said it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything else is given. Everything else is included. Yeah. So what we choose, how we choose, and the things we're choosing. Number three, let me talk quickly about what we achieve. And of course, you know, we can place priority on our energies to ensure that we can provide for ourselves. We place priorities on our successes. We want to, you know, nobody wants to fail. Nobody wants to. We just prayed for those going through exams. Nobody wants to fail. I don't believe that's God's will for us. And we can make our primary concern the physical necessities of life, our housing, our food, our clothing. And if we make these things the goals of our lives, and then if they are the goal for our lives, then they will move our lives in the direction of the material and earthly. If we make the material and earthly the destination, then the material and earthly can set the journey. The material and earthly can set every stop along the way. They can do that. Alternatively, if we go after God's kingdom, which for a Christian should be our priority, then everything else falls into place. I keep repeating this. You're still hearing it, and I will keep repeating it. Everything else will fall into place. God's kingdom is that which recognizes and promotes his rule. God's kingdom is the kingdom that recognizes and promotes his reign. So going after God's kingdom doesn't necessarily mean you come to church on Sunday and you don't leave till Saturday. You know, going after God's kingdom doesn't mean the only book you read is the Bible. You know, going after God's kingdom doesn't mean, you know, you subscribe to Sky Channel and you only watch the Christian TV and you don't watch the news. Your children don't know anything other than Derek Prince. And I know some people are going to come after me. Whether you like him or you don't like him. It's not here. It's not for debate. Yeah. So seeking God's kingdom is an environment that promotes his rule and his reign. Recognizing his rule and his reign. His righteousness refers to those things that are in accordance with his word for us, his will, that bring us into Christ-likeness. So what in your life is calling you and causing you to be more like Christ? Calling you and causing you to live more like Christ? Those things are speaking to righteousness. Seek first his kingdom. Seek first his righteousness. So instead of longing after the things of this world, we're meant to hunger and thirst for the things of the world to come. Not this world, the world to come. And to seek righteousness is to seek to win people into God's kingdom, that they might be saved, that God might be glorified. That is also seeking righteousness. So instead of seeking the physical and the material, seek the spiritual, seek the eternal. So I've talked a little bit about that stuff. Let me say this. You know, Jesus in the text tells us what to do. I want to, and often when we say, oh, seek first the kingdom of God, and we talk, you know, it's almost like we're speaking against the material things. Material, live, you know, materiality, is that a word? No? Materialism? Materialism, thank you. So these guys love me more. What's going on over here? Materialism, thank you. I knew there was a word, I didn't want to make one up, because this is on YouTube. It's like we're preaching against materialism in it, or material things, yeah? And I don't want to do that. This text does not teach us that it is wrong to have stuff. It doesn't teach us that. This text does not teach us that it is wrong to go after things. This text does not teach us it's wrong to have to get a job. It doesn't teach us it's wrong to build your career. This text doesn't tell us it is wrong to be successful. This text doesn't tell us, it doesn't actually tell us it's wrong to be rich. Or it's wrong to own a car, whether that car is a BMW or a Bentley. You know, last week I was talking about how Sumi and I went, you know, supercar experience driving, and she drove in a Bentley. You know, I've never been in a Bentley. I've never even opened the door of a Bentley. Like I said, I've never even walked past a Bentley with its door open. You know, she drove a Bentley, you know, racetrack. And trust me, it's not wrong if you want to have money to buy clothes, or you want to pay your rent or mortgage. It's not wrong to want to buy food. It's not wrong to want to eat. In fact, I would advise that eating is a good thing. Maybe not, you know. I mean, I'm 6'4" and full of muscles. I know that, you know. But eating is a good thing. At the same time, Jesus is not teaching us to spend all of our time and energy chasing spiritual things. He's not telling you, go and become a monk. Go and become a nun. That's not what this text is about. Remember, verse 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God. Verse 33 doesn't say, seek only the kingdom of God. God expects us to work. He expects us to have a life. He expects us to be regular human beings, to be good to our neighbors, to be friendly. He expects us to go knock on doors and have conversations with people. He expects us to be neighborly. He expects us to live life and live it in abundance. After all, that's why Jesus came. Amen? Live it in abundance. He wants us to live the fullness of life. But obviously the center of that abundance, the center, the fullness of that life is rooted and grounded, revolving around the kingdom of God. As we live, kingdom of God. As we work, kingdom of God. As we're generous and benevolent, kingdom of God. What Jesus is teaching us in today's passage is to establish the correct priorities in our lives. Let the topmost priority be about following the Lord. It doesn't mean it's the only thing we do. Jesus teaches us we should focus our attentions, focus our hopes, focus our aspirations on the things of God. If we're going to be consumed with anything, be consumed with the kingdom. Be consumed with the kingdom. You see, there are two ways of getting things. We can make them the object of our life, and we can go and struggle and strive for them, like a lot of people do, like many of us have done, like I have done, or we can have them as a bonus after we have sought first the kingdom of God, after we have put the first things first. Talking about that, let me tell you a story I heard. It was about this man. He walked into a pet shop, and the pet shop manager asked what he wanted, and he said, "Oh, I'm looking for," you know, he was alone. He was living on his own, and he said, "Oh, I'm looking for some companionship. I decided I'm gonna get a pet. And I'm not quite sure, you know, just something to talk to, something that can talk back to me." The woman said, "Okay, what sort of thing? Do you want a dog?" He said, "Well, I had a dog, you know, previously, but it was a bit of a boring dog. Okay, would you like a cat?" "I had a cat, but the thing was just, it just ruled everything. It was behaving like it was my landlord, you know, as cats do." Has anybody here got cats? You'll understand what I mean, you know. And so the pet shop owner said, "I tell you what I'd recommend, get a parrot." He said, "A parrot? Yeah, get a parrot." "Oh, really? Yeah, great, great animal. It's easy to clean, low maintenance, and if you talk to it, it'll talk back to you. It learns some stuff." So the guy was like, "Okay, this looks like a great, great, you know, fantastic idea." So, you know, the guy bought the parrot, took the parrot home. He was really happy with the purchase. He left. The next day, he brought the parrot back to the shop and said to the shop owner, "The parrot doesn't talk. I don't know why the parrot's not talking. It's just not talking to me." So the shop owner was like, "Okay, does the parrot have a mirror? You know, because parrots actually love mirrors. They like looking at them, their reflection in the mirror. Why don't you buy a mirror for the cage?" So the guy bought a mirror for the cage and he left. The very next day he came back to the shop. He was like, "The bird is still not talking. You said this thing would talk to me. It's not talking." So the shop manager said, "Okay, I'll tell you what. You got the mirror. Have you got a ladder? You know, I know they fly, but they also like walking up and down on the ladders in the cage." "Oh, that sounds like a great idea." So the man bought the ladder and he left. The very next day, he was back again. He was complaining. He said, "This bird is just not talking. I bought the mirror. It didn't talk. I bought the ladder. It didn't talk. What am I going to do?" The shop manager said, "I tell you what, parrots like to swing. Why don't you buy a swing in the cage?" "Really? Yeah. Swings are great. Parrots love swings. I'll buy the swing." Okay. So he bought the swing. He was happy. He left. The very next day, he came back. And as he walked in, he walked looking a bit glum. The shop manager said, "What's the matter?" He said, "Oh, the parrot has died." He said, "The parrot has died?" The shop manager said, "I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry to hear that the shop manager that the parrot has died. You know, because, I mean, parrots that have these nice cages with mirrors and ladders and swings, they're typically quite happy. And I'm really surprised the parrot didn't say anything to you at all before it died." The man answered, he said, "Actually, the parrot spoke." "It did? Yeah. Said just before it died, it spoke. What did the parrot say?" "The parrot said in a very weak voice, 'The mirror and the ladder and the swing are all really good. But this shop, don't they sell any parrot food?'" It is important, saints, that we put the first things first. Put things in their right order. God is caring. God is caring. He is protective. He is good. He is loving. He is gracious. And He will always add to our lives. Today calls us to seek first His kingdom. It calls us to put all other things as secondary. And if God's priorities become our priorities, I promise you, He will take care of our needs. Amen. Notice, it's a conditional promise. If we seek first the kingdom, everything falls into place. We should be concerned about the things of God. There are two simple rules that govern our lives. Set your eyes on the things that advance God's kingdom. Set your eyes on the things that contribute to God's kingdom, on the establishment of righteousness, and go after those things. Seek first the kingdom, and everything will be added to you. Everything will fall into place. That's the promise. So what's going on in your life? How are you living today? What has become the most important thing for you in 2023? As we approach this halfway point, would you consider realigning, reprioritizing, seeking first the kingdom in all aspects? Would you consider living for him, letting him be the first thing so that he can take care of the other stuff in your life? If your answer is yes, then today you can start that journey afresh, anew, again. And, you know, I want to encourage you. If you're already doing this, keep doing it. Keep seeking first God's kingdom. Keep him as priority in your life. And if you're wondering how else to do it, like I said, I think it was last week I said, have you noticed that, you know, sometimes when stuff is tough, you cope easier, you cope better when you focus on other people and other things? You're not sure how to seek God's kingdom first? Well, Pollard's Hill Baptist Church, you know, we have ways to do that. Plug in, connect, join one of the helps ministries, join the food bank, join Little Church. Yeah, bring your gifts, bring your skills, bring your talent, bring your time, bring the little that you have to God's altar. And let him bless you. There are people available in this church, the people around you right now, who are happy, willing, and able to pray with you, help you, and journey with you as you seek to put the first things first. And as you do this, I trust, I know that the Lord will take care of everything else in your life.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.